Blog Talk Radio.
Show, and of course, I am Don S. McClure. I want to thank you, and I always miss that part of it, they added that on my script. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want you to sit back and relax and enjoy this special one-hour presentation. And if you'd like to call me, you can reach me at 818-691-7395. That number to call is 818-691-7395 if you'd like to reach me. Or you can email me, like a lot of people do, at McClureDonS@gmail.com. And it also will work as my IM. Tonight's show, we're going to be talking about what makes a warrior type attitude and what is a crusade for a better life. Today we honor Lieutenant Colonel Luke Weathers. He was the first black air traffic controller in the city of Memphis, Tennessee, and he was one of the first Tuskegee Airmen in the fly group, the Red Tails, and he was buried today at Arlington Cemetery with full honors. This week we will examine the strength and verbal advice given to those who are in search of a better life. The background will be from various movies that we just didn't get a chance to load, and I gained a lot of knowledge from those things, but unfortunately, we won't be able to play them today. My producers, you guys get on your job. They didn't get to load my movies. We will also look at my book, To Have a Friend, and the statement, What Price Friendship? But before we get to all that, and before we take a break, we're going to be able to read to you some of the fan mail and emails that I get and just comments from my friends and listeners. And I always like to send out a few shout-outs after I read these and just kind of get involved in some of the things that people say to me. And, you know, sometimes we'll take you into the studio where I do my workout, pump up, or just different things. But today we got a Facebook note from a friend of mine I hadn't seen in a while. Her name is Chaz Lachey. She lives in Memphis. And she says, Hi there, Mr. McClure. My name is Chastity. I met you at the laundromat on Union about a year ago. And, yes, I'm always at the laundromats hanging out or some food joint. She says we talked a long time, and she put L-O-O-O-O-N-G in the note about the book and certain projects that I was working on and projects that she was working on at the time. Well, she is producing her first play in Memphis, and it's going to be in the month of May. And I told her, yes, I will be there, provided that I'm not in Italy by April, which doesn't look pretty good with the Seattle snow. But anyway, I wanted to congratulate her for producing her first play, and I'm seriously going to try to make it to Memphis in May on the 5th. I want to send a shout-out to Sharon in Texas. She asked me if I was going to do part twos to some of the shows that I have, and especially the show that I had last week, and to talk more about dreams and what people have to say and just a whole overview of the show. So, yeah, I'm going to start adding part twos to my shows. And I want to send a shout-out to Miss Glenda in Indianapolis. She enjoys my show. And last week's show she really enjoyed it. She asked me, was there some advice I could give her concerning that topic? And, yes, I will send you an email and send you some information. and to Tanya Lyon Anderson in Memphis. She hopes my next new book is a bestseller, and she is praying for my success. So I want to thank her for that. She's a beautiful young woman that owns her own dentistry. She's the CEO and president of her own business. And last but not least, I want to thank Alice Ford in Atlanta. She writes, "When are you coming to Atlanta for a book signing?" and that she will be looking for me to sign both her books. She has Broken Wings, Fallen Angels, and Romantic Images of You, Where My Heart Belongs. And she says she might even have a glass of wine to offer while I am there. And I love wine, and my listeners know that, so that's a great thing. But we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to let my band play my Fly Me to the Moon. I love my band, as a matter of fact. We're going to listen to a PSA with Tony Braxton. And when we come back, we're going to be ready to start the show. But again, my band is anxious. I see them gearing up. And they're going to take us off for a quick break. They're going to play Fly Me to the Moon by my favorite guy, Frank Sinatra. And we shall be right back. Oh, I'm loving my crowd. My audience cheers for me.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play up there with those stars. Let me see what life is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Fill my heart with song. Let me swing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship.
In 1990, in Severn, Maryland, the daughter of a clergyman was discovered by a music industry insider while pumping gas at a service station. The odds of her getting signed and spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of this former church choir singer going on to sell 40 million records? 1 in 15 million. The odds of the same woman winning 6 Grammy Awards and starring in 2 Broadway plays? 1 in 75 million. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference.
And we're back, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And, of course, I am Don S. McClure, and I am broadcasting live from the Washington area. And it has been a doozy with the snow. I mean, I've been snowed in, icicles, and they tried to run me out of the state telling me that their bad weather didn't come until I came. So, but, unfortunately, I'm not leaving till I'm ready. But tonight's show, we're talking about courage. And I want to do a special little short clip that I want you to listen to. We captured one of the newscasts, international and national information channels, that was talking about Luke Weathers. And again, I mentioned him earlier that he was the first black air traffic controller in the city of Memphis. And he was also one of the famous Tuskegee Airmen. And he was in the Red Tails. So, again, they're burying him today, and I thought it was interesting because I called the news stations in Memphis and the newspapers to see if they were going to do big stories about him and maybe lower the flags to half-staff, because this is truly black history, that this man paved the way for a lot of us who are successful and doing great things, that he paved the way for us to get that. And it wasn't just him, it was others. But when we find that a black man of that magnitude has done so much in the past, we need to honor that. Now, I know today everybody's talking about the death of one of the most famous singers, and that's really good. I mean, I've seen it on the internet. I've seen it all over the place, and it was really good. But the point is, he should have just as much coverage. Our black children can't learn, and other children can't learn. If we don't really promote and get out there and talk about that same thing, which is what we always talk about with my books. But I want to play this news clip, kind of give you an idea of what I'm talking about. I thought he was a great man from what I learned, and I wish when I was in Memphis I had got a chance to talk to him because he was still alive when I was there. But let's take a quick listen to this news clip from one of the associate stations.
During a fallen hero, Lieutenant Colonel Luke Weathers passed away last October. He was a member of the legendary Tuskegee Airmen from World War II, the first African-American pilots in the U.S. military, and they did an amazing job. Today, he's being buried with full honors at Arlington National Cemetery. Jennifer Griffin, live at the Pentagon with more on his story. Jennifer?
John, exactly 3 years ago today, 180 members of the storied Tuskegee Airmen attended the inauguration of President Obama. Some of them told me at the time they felt the racial barriers that they had broken during World War II, being the first African-American aviators, had paved the way for the president's election. Today at Arlington National Cemetery, one of the Tuskegee Airmen, Lieutenant Colonel Luke Weathers, was buried. He died at the age of 90. He was one of the pioneers. After the war, he became the first black air traffic controller with the FAA in Memphis, Tennessee. Despite their success during the war, he and the other airmen faced... discrimination at home. They were subject to Jim Crow laws inside and outside the military. The Tuskegee Airmen flew with the 332nd Fighter Group. They provided bomber escorts over Italy and Germany. They were called Red Tails because they painted the tails of their planes red. In 1941, legislation forced what was then the Pentagon or War Department to form an all-black unit. 996 pilots were trained, 445 deployed overseas. They flew more than 15,000 combat sorties, destroyed hundreds of German planes, and came home to fight another war against racism. President Harry Truman ended segregation in the U.S. military in 1948 by executive order. Lieutenant Colonel Walter McCreary was a Red Tail and an ace pilot. He described to me how he had to continue to fight discrimination after returning from the war.
Even Congress went on record by saying that black boys, we were called boys, did not have the intelligence and coordination to fly military aircraft.
The ranks of this storied group, the Tuskegee Airmen, may be dwindling as their age has progressed, but they are being remembered and they're being honored today at Arlington National Cemetery, John.
Yeah, they were some of the best aviators of the war. Catherine, sorry, Jennifer. Jennifer Griffin there at Pentagon. Thank you.
And I want to thank Jennifer Griffin and the Associate News team for allowing me to air that story. I thought it was really great. And like I said, tonight's show topic is really going to be the best one, I guess, that we've had in a while. It's going to be on what makes a warrior-type attitude and what is a crusade for a better life. So today, again, we want you to honor Lieutenant Colonel Luke Weathers as we get ready for our show, and we shall be right back after this quick break, and then we're going to talk about it. So keep in mind, get your pens and papers ready, and we shall have a good one-hour talk about courage and actually just making your life better. Those are the things that we talk about. So again, you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and of course, I am the one and only Don S. McClure, and I want to say, brrr, I'm freezing. I hate cold weather, but I'm in Washington enjoying myself, and the Chinese food here has been really great. I want to thank some people for providing that for me, and today I'm drinking hot tea as usual. So let's take this break, and I shall be right back.
You may be hearing about people having trouble making mortgage payments and risking losing their homes. Many of them just aren't aware of the options that can prevent foreclosure. There are many options available to homeowners, such as repayment and forbearance plans, loan modifications, and even refinancing. Where does someone go for help?
They should talk directly with their lender or a qualified HUD-approved counseling agency. Both can provide helpful information without charging a fee. According to PMI Mortgage Insurance Company, it's not a good idea to pay for services that you can get for free from a lender or a qualified nonprofit counseling agency. To learn more, visit HomeSafePMI.com or call HUD at 1-800-569-4287 for a counseling agency near you. That's 1-800-569-4287. This message is brought to you by PMI, supporting sustainable home ownership that strengthens communities.
And we're back. And of course, like I said, if you'd like to dial, you can. You can reach me or you can IM me like a lot of people do. And you can try to reach me while I am either on the show or off the show. But you could call me at 818-691-7395, or you could email me, like a lot of my fans do, at McClure.S@gmail.com. And that's going to be the first part of our show. Now, what makes a warrior-type attitude? I know when a lot of people saw that on the Internet and what I was talking about, it's not always based on when I say a warrior. I don't mean you got to go put on your shield and armor and battle with somebody. What a warrior-type attitude is for the ladies especially, that attitude of saying, I am going to be the best that I'm going to be. I'm going to continue. I'm going to grow despite the obstacles. Now, a lot of times we talk about opinions, and usually a warrior will decide, like, let's say, Lieutenant Colonel Luke Weathers. He was told all through his training that black pilots did not have the mental capacity to be great as pilots. Now, think about that. As a female, a lot of times you're told you just can't make it in a man's world, certain things don't belong to you, and even your parents might say, look, just get a husband, and that'll take care of your issues, and you don't have to worry about working so hard because somebody will take care of you. Well, that's their own opinion, and it doesn't mean it's a terrible opinion, but you have to reach inside yourself and say, is that the only attribute I can offer somebody to be successful is to marry somebody else and not have my own individuality write or produce or anything? Now let's talk about for a second the young lady that's doing the play. If I remember correctly, she's in her, I think, middle 20s or early 20s. I'm not sure. She's a young woman. She has the desire to have that warrior attitude. She's going to do her first play, and she hopes that I'll be there. And she's saying, hey, she's getting a lot of responses from people saying they're going to go to the play. It takes a lot of courage to want to produce a play, to try to find sponsors, to put your script together, and even if it doesn't turn out good, for her to step out on faith means that she's got that warrior-type attitude to say, I'm going to go forward. Her crusade for a better life, when we talk about the word crusade, is to have a better life, maybe as a playwright, maybe as a strong producer. You never know, she may end up going to Broadway to produce. But the point is, something inside of her made the light bulb go off. Now, we had a long, long conversation while I was at a laundromat. And inside that laundromat on Union, they have posters of all the books I've done. And so the owner of the laundromat is a great guy. I mean, his name is Tom. He tries to do a lot in the community. And he has a lot of African-American females actually working there as clerks and helping with the laundromat. But he's always trying to provide some avenues. And what I like about the laundromat is that they will allow you to put up posters, and the staff has bought books, and they'll kind of get involved in things. So when I met her there, of course, I was out doing the PR for my book while I wash my clothes and do my shirts and get some white T-shirts. And I won't tell you what else I was washing, but I approached her and asked her, had she heard of my book as usual, and she said no, and then we started dialoguing and come to find out that she wanted to be a playwright. So when she found me on Facebook, I hadn't seen her in a while, and she wrote me and said, hey, I hope you remember me. You know, I'm the young lady you talked to. And that's what that warrior attitude is. When you see somebody that you think can help you, you immediately latch on to that. And it's not a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. It's a relationship of networking, saying, you know what, I'm going to conquer, I'm going to do, because my crusade in life is to have a better life as an individual doing what I want to do. So that's what we're talking about tonight. How do you develop that warrior-type attitude? And again, you're going to find that friends and relatives and cousins and nieces and uncles and just basically teachers may tell you, well, you can't be that strong, and you shouldn't want to be that strong. You should wait for somebody to come along on a white horse and marry you and give you the picket fence, or don't go after that career like that, you know. Go get that good job and wait and put it off. So I salute her for having that warrior-type attitude. Now, one of the clips I was going to play, and I didn't get a chance to, is called Kingdom of Heaven. And it is a dynamic movie. And I learned a lot about that movie, because he's on a crusade to heal himself with God, because he thinks he's done something wrong, and he thinks his wife has done something wrong because she had a child. And after she had the child died. She thought God was punishing her, so she committed suicide. Well, back there in the day at that time, suicide was a serious crime. So when they buried her, they just said, hey, we can't give her any real honors. But fortunately, after years had gone by, his father shows up, who's a lord, and he's one of the best warriors out there. So he has land and an army, and he wants to heal what he's done with his son. He says, hey, you didn't know me, but I'm your father, and I was with your mother. I didn't force her, but she was my woman. And I want to give you the father-son relationship and leave the stuff, because I never know how long I'm going to be here, but I want to leave what I've gained in life for you. And he goes on this quest, and it's all about his decision-making while he is trying to find peace with God. Now, you have to see this movie, because it is truly a battle of wits, a battle of words, but he learns a lot about what he thinks he should feel. And then he goes to Jerusalem and some other issues come up. But it's a magnificent picture. So when you get a chance, write that down, Kingdom of Heaven. It is a great picture starring Orlando Bloom. And it will kind of tie into what I'm talking about, because the female that he gets with, she has that warrior-type attitude. She is the king's sister, a very dynamic woman, and she holds her own. She really holds her own, and they're in this dinner meeting one night, and he's watching her eat. And I just love the scene, because she says, what? And she has these really beautiful eyes. She looks back, and he says, hey, I haven't seen a woman eat in a long time. And he admires the perseverance she has, that she could be very feminine at times, and then other times she could stand up for herself. So when we talk about warrior-type attitudes, I want you to examine whatever's going on in your life today and look at yourself in the mirror and say, do I have that warrior-type attitude to persevere, to do, to win, and can I develop that attitude if I don't have it? Can I get that attitude? And I'm not talking about being arrogant or just having some ugly ways about yourself, thinking that you're better than anybody else. What we're talking about is a warrior-type attitude to say, you know what, I deserve the best for myself. I deserve the best for who I am, and I'm going after that, no matter what the odds are. Now, the crusade is going to be kind of like the crusades, and why I picked that word. Of course, everybody knows that I'm so in love with the majesty and the whole image of the knights and kings and dukes, because that's what I grew up with. So I love that. And when I saw the movie, Kingdom of Heaven, of course it brings to light when I played in the backyard and did other things. But just getting people to understand, to use the word crusade, add a new word to your vocabulary, not always I'm going after something or a project or I'm trying to develop something. Maybe you could tell people at your dinner parties or your relatives' house, you know, I got a new crusade in life. And they're going to say, what do you mean crusade? You think you're King Richard or something? They're going to say, no, it doesn't always apply to that. So I want you to think about that. We're going to take a quick break. You're talking to Donis McClure, and you can reach me at 818-691-7395. And the topic tonight, of course, is a warrior-type attitude and a crusade for your life. And let me know what you think your crusades are. You never know. You never know what a person is thinking and doing. Your crusade may be that you want to save your house. Again, we just played a PSA about home mortgages. But I really want to hone in on that warrior-type attitude because I believe that the more we address your attitude, the more your altitude will grow. Hey, I kind of like that. I always make up some snappy things. You're listening to Don S. McClure. We'll be right back after we play the doggies in the window. I guess that's what it's going to be. But
do you see that doggie in the shelter?
Hi, I'm Buddy, the adorable puppy you adopted from the Humane Society.
Meow. I'm Whiskers, a fluffy kitty, just waiting for someone to love me.
When you adopt a pet, we hope your new furry friend will become a cherished member of your family. And as Buddy and Whiskers will tell you, the key to success is following the rules to love by.
Woof, that's right. Please give me food, water, and exercise every day. To stay healthy, I need the same kind of things you need.
Talk to me. I like hearing your voice.
You're my best friend. Please don't stay mad at me or lock me up as punishment. Remember, I'm probably going to live 10 to 15 years, so take care of me when I get old.
One day you'll need someone to take care of you, too.
A message from the Montgomery County Humane Society. Visit www.mchumane.org for the complete rules to love by.
Be your best friend for life.
And you're on the Don S. McClure Show, and of course I am, the one and only, the one that I love more than anything in the world, Don S. McClure. And I'm just joking, don't take that out of context, because I know sometimes people will say, Don, you talk about yourself. Yeah, I do like to meet up. Thank you, audience. Thank you. That is so great. That is so cool. You'll be able to hit the audience button when you feel like, oh, man, that is dynamic. But anyway, we are talking about a warrior-type attitude tonight. And, of course, we want you to develop something positive when you listen to our shows. And I can't find a better subject than telling you to believe in yourself, to develop that warrior-type attitude. Now, I don't know if a lot of you had a chance to see any of the movies called Joan of Arc. And Joan had that warrior-type attitude. She's really great. Matter of fact, I think the young lady who plays in one of the Resident Evils is actually playing Joan of Arc. And I can't pronounce her name. It's Malekovich or something like that. And she's really a great actress. But I had a chance to watch that movie. And Joan of Arc was just a beautiful movie about attitude. Now, I think when you're out, and you're having dinner with your friends, or you're partying at the club, or you're sitting around reading a book, or whatever it is you're doing, I want you to develop an idea about whether or not you think you can have a warrior-type attitude. I was watching one of the shows today on a court TV, and I usually don't spend time watching them, but I was amazed at how this male had such a lackluster attitude for himself, and that he was willing to just be so docile and walked over by a female that he thought was worth having. And after you looked at the story, even the judge got irritated with her. So he didn't have that warrior-type attitude to say, I deserve better. And I think that for a long time, we spend so much time complaining on Facebook or talking about we're waiting on God to bring us something, or I prayed and it's on its way. Each morning that you wake up, God gives you brains enough to kind of make some decisions for yourself, because that's what choice is. So when you have that warrior-type attitude, the warriors always say to themselves, look, I've got to persevere. This is something I have to do because I want something better for me. So the next time, like I say, when you start developing, whether you're working on your weight, you're working on your exercise program, along with getting healthier, I want you to get a healthier warrior-type attitude and find a crusade that you believe is your crusade. And again, add that new word to your vocabulary. I know people are going to find that amazing when you go to work and you're around the water coolers or whatever it is, and some people still get to take the smoke breaks, I guess. But that word crusade, I want you to look it up and find out what it really means to you after you see what it means in the dictionary. But tonight's show, that's what we're talking about. And again, like I said, we're honoring a man who found a crusade, was to be a black pilot and be the best and to change the way the world viewed African Americans. That was his crusade. He wanted respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. And it kind of sounds like Aretha song. But that's what he wanted. And that's what they were fighting for. That's what people miss. They think that the Tuskegee Airmen were about just joining the Air Force, whatever they were in, and becoming military people. But it was a bigger issue than that. The world at that time, and we still have a problem with it, did not respect African-American men. And if you think back, and I don't know if it was in the 70s or 80s, it probably was in the 80s or 90s, there was a gentleman named Leakey who was supposed to be a great psychologist that had written some books, and he said the black person's brain cranium at a lecture was not capable of keeping as much information as a white person's brain cranium. Now, we're not talking about 1930. We're talking about something that was almost current. And when you hear people talk about us sometimes, when they talk about African Americans, when they talk about people of color, when they talk about females, they always seem to say that, well, you're just not as bright. And they don't use the word bright, of course, they'll use you're just not keeping up or you're not capable, which are the terms. But you have to tell yourself that you have that warrior-type attitude and you're going to persevere. And I think that's one of the most important things that you can give young adults today, to know that they can persevere, which is why I say you cannot spend all your time doing Black History Month and repeat the same 15 names and maybe add two or three and then expect young people to grow and to actually think that other cultures are going to respect you when they know more of the names of the people that have paved the way for you than you know. I mean, we should really think about that. We're always congratulating something that the media puts out, which is what we're talking about, opinion. If they say so-and-so died and we need to honor that, we say, okay, hey, that's what we need to do, and we'll pass that information around on the Internet. But if it's somebody we haven't really heard of, then we say to ourselves, well, it's not popular enough to put that out there because I need to go with what's going on. And I think that's one of the major issues that I have with the world today. We're so busy saying slavery issues and the white man issues and the black woman issues, and we can't seem to progress because of this, this, and this, and this. We don't put on that warrior armor and say, well, yeah, I've made some mistakes, but you know what? I'm changing. I'm growing. I'm doing. And it's not always about how much success that we get from the project that we have. But if you don't stick with it, if you always let people turn you around, you'll always be caught between not being a warrior. So when you hear that autism commercial that Toni Braxton put out there, you got to think of her courage and that warrior attitude she has and the crusade to not only defend her son, but to try to get others to recognize that autism does exist. And, I mean, that took a lot for her to put that out there. And if you listen to the words in that PSA, I mean, she's done all this. She's a minister's daughter. She's grown. She did this. And she just happened to have a child that has autism. It's not like she planned it. But she's fighting for that cause. So the next time you post something or put something out there, ask yourself, is what I'm putting out there what everybody else is saying? Again, we talk about Tyler Perry. But what about this young lady in Memphis that wants to do a play? Does she not deserve the same recognition and promotion that Tyler got? Or anybody else? Why do we act like it's just we only got Oprah, we got Spike Lee? We're the only cultures out there that seem to think in what I call the one-ism, If you put a name out there, then all of a sudden we all run toward the name. Like right now, in the books that people are writing, everybody says, oh, Steve Harvey, Steve Harvey, Steve Harvey. And before it was Ivana St. Zamp or whatever her name is. I can't pronounce it. And we get caught between the opinions of the world, which is what we're talking about tonight. We have to stop letting the opinions of the world decide on what we should talk about, what we should hear, what we should see, and maybe open the channel up more. It isn't wrong to listen to what they say, but add maybe something that you want to do. Think about this. For the 18 years I spent in Memphis, this man, Luke Weathers, was alive, and I did one of the largest Black History calendars in the United States, supported by 36 governors, supported by almost every major corporation in America, from Coke, Pepsi, Wendy's, Wonder Bread, Papa John's, and I had never heard of this man until today. And I'm not doing the Black History Calendar anymore. I'm now working on some other projects, my books, and I probably will go back to that. But what does that say about here's a man who's alive, who was a Tuskegee Airman, and only when the media picked it up and started talking about the Red Tails and stuff like that, now all of a sudden we're all interested in the Tuskegee Airmen. And not to say that all of us think like that, because there is no 100%. But if you think back, as much as we heard about the Tuskegee Airmen, ask your friends, associates, instructors, name me six of them, besides the ones you saw in the movie. Just give me six names, like Luke Weathers. I didn't even know if he was in the movie or not. And I'm going to play the movie again to see if they even mentioned Luke Weathers. But the point really is this. We have honor and respect in our culture, in our history that we could promote. And if we put on that warrior armor and we get out there, like the young lady that wants to do her play, there's friends of mine out there in Memphis. I mean, these are dynamic women that have decided they would own their own businesses. And it doesn't have to be your standard business. They put on that warrior armor to tell everybody that they intend to succeed in life. And that's so very important. We've got 23 more minutes left in my show. My number is 818-691-7395. That is the number you can call, or you can email me, like most of you do, at McClure.Don.S@gmail.com. And again, we're talking about warrior-type attitudes, and we want you to decide on what is your crusade. And we want you to start using that word, different from a lot of the other words, like what's your purpose or what's your goals in life. Imagine when I'm in a career day and I'm saying, what is your crusade? First they're going to look at me like, okay, what do you mean, what is my crusade? And we shouldn't always attach the word crusade to the religious aspect or finding the Holy Grail or the things we learned from history books. We need to adapt and change the way we see things, and even sometimes the definition of what a word really means. That's what my book talks about, To Have a Friend, and we're going to talk about that. But we're going to take a quick PSA. We're going to be right back. I am enjoying my show. Do you realize we only have 20 more minutes to go? And I am amazed at how fast time flies.
Hi, I'm Amanda Pete. Like all new parents, my husband and I want what's best for our baby. When it was time for our daughter's immunizations, we wanted the facts. So we carefully researched vaccines. We spoke with doctors and other experts and asked some tough questions. We decided that vaccines were the best thing for our child. I urge you to get the facts. Learn the facts about vaccines so you can make the best healthcare decisions for your family. Thank you.
A message from the American Academy of Pediatrics and VaccinateYourBaby.org.
And we're back, and we're talking about a warrior-type attitude, and we're also talking about the Crusades, and we're also talking about opinions. How much do you let the media's opinion or your friend's opinion, your girlfriend, your mother, your father, your cousin, even your minister, how much do you let their opinion sway the way you feel about yourself and what you should do? And I think that when you sit down and examine all of that, and you look in the mirror, like when we talked about dreams, it still said, no matter how many people you get to talk to about the dream, It's still based on what you interpret. And I use that all the time. You. You have to be the deciding factor, good or bad. Like Frank said, I did it my way. And it doesn't always mean you're going to make the right decisions, but you're going to make a decision based on what you feel. And I always say that. At least when you make the decision on what you feel, you can rest a little better with it because it's your decision. Don't you hate it when you say, you know what, I listened to so-and-so and they gave me that advice that it ended up being the worst advice I ever got. I remember Susie Orman. She was talking about how she worked in a restaurant. And one guy asked her, after coming in all the time, he was one of her regulars, about why she was looking so sad. And she said she had a broke-down car and she couldn't pay her bills and she didn't know what she was going to do. And he called her Sunshine. So after she told him her dilemma, he went in the back room and got together with some of his friends. Now listen to this. He wrote on a napkin that they were going to give her $50,000. And the agreement was to use the money to better her life. And if she could not pay it back, it was no big thing. Now, you got friends that you borrow $20 from, $60 from, $80 from, and they hound you as if like you really just beat them out of Fort Knox. Because when they're giving it to you, are they really loaning it to you or helping you because they really want to see you make it? Or is this something that they feel like, man, you just really, really did not return that? And these will be the same people who, when President Obama says, I need a donation, oh, hey, let me send him $100, and I'm never going to get that back. And it's not to say that you shouldn't pay it back, but their warrior attitude should be, hey, I gave that because you asked, I loaned you that or whatever, and if for whatever reasons you can't get it back to me or you don't get it back on time or you pay it in pennies, let's work on that. Rather than becoming to take the 10-year, 15-year, 30-year, 5-year relationship and throw it in the dirt over, let's say, $30. And when you divide that by 18 years or 15 years, how much are you talking about that's worth? Which is what we're going to talk about in the next few minutes. My new book coming out, To Have a Friend. And he's got to make some really serious decisions about the word friendship because he went to school with David. He admires him. They're friends, and they're going to be friends to the end. And I was working the other night, working on the intro, and I had a chance to pull it up, and I had started with a character, and the characters are very important, character development. Now, I had already named his arch rival, who's also a young organized crime leader, Eric Batista. And I wanted to make sure I spelled it right, so I'm going through the books and on the internet, and I found a couple of Batistas, and then I found the gentleman named Batista, who used to be the head of the Cuban government. And it was so amazing when I read his autobiography how connected he was to organized crime leaders like Maya Lansky and Lucky Luciano. So I kind of had a chance to also develop this character that I have by taking some of the other information and saying, hey, maybe I could make this like a fictitious grandfather of Eric. So this is why he's rising so fast up. Now, to have a friend means that Eric has associates that he loves and admires. There's people that admire him. And also Joey Fernandez, who is the head of the movie that I'm talking about. He's one of the leading characters. He has his friend David Stewart, who came from the book Romantic Images of You, Where My Heart Belongs, which I want all of you to get before Valentine's Day. Now, don't forget to get that book to help me get to these 3,500 sales I want to do. But David is in this book, and they're childhood friends. And Joey has to find a way to protect him from keeping him outside of doing anything illegal. So I started looking in the dictionary for the word friendship, what it meant, what they had written. I looked on Wikipedia, and I decided, okay, I'm going to toy with this word. So again, my warrior-type attitude for my book was, well, let me develop what I want. Let me see how I can make this friendship so bonding and so strong between them that Joey is willing to put everything on the line for this friend of his. for this friend that he went to school with. And Eric has committed his crusade to destroying Joy. He's like, I'm going to be the next head of the International Crime Lords, and I'm going to run it. That's my destiny. My great-grandfather or grandfather was the head of this, and I deserve to have it. So we're talking about willpower. Now, whenever you're developing something, whether it's cooking a meal or whatever, I want you to develop that warrior-type attitude. I want you to decide on what it is you want to do and how bad you want to do it. And if you need some advice, email me at McClure.S@gmail.com, and we'll talk about it. Like the young lady told me, hey, Don, I hope you make my play. I'm always getting invitations, and I'm going to try to really make a lot of those things. I've decided that I wanted to get a group called Speak Out, and we go to schools and we lecture, and I just sent letters to the mayor of Chicago. All the aldermen, all 50 of them, have a letter. I sent a letter to the governor of the state of Illinois, and I'm asking them to, hey, promote my book. That's that warrior-type attitude. That's how I got to do the project, the 28 days of February. I decided that I would get governors and senators and everybody involved, and I did that. I got a chance to get letters from Fred Thompson, I mean, really huge in the political field, and a lot of the guys that you see running today, Mitt Romney, Sarah Palin, all of them, Deval Patrick, in Massachusetts, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, everybody got involved in my project to talk about diversity and the respect for African-American history and how I wanted it to be a given day in each state. And whether it was Jennifer Graham in Michigan, I mean, they were all signing on. And that's the attitude that I want you to have, that warrior-type attitude that's going to take you to the next level. And even if you don't make it, as far as society feels you made it, or your parents, or your cousins, or whatever, you know you made it in your heart because you gave it your all, which is why I respect a lot of young African-American women when they open up their own companies. Doesn't mean they have to be the size of FedEx, but at least they did it. You're talking tonight to Don S. McClure. You're listening, rather, and you can reach me at 818-691-7395. That is the number to call, or you can email me at McClure.S. And I just checked my figures today, and I have over 1,500 listeners to my last show, and over 3,000 people that have actually downloaded my shows. So I'm always amazed at that. But again, I'm enjoying the show. We got 12 more minutes, and so we're going to take another quick PSA. I need to get a couple of glasses of water and calm down. I always get excited when I'm talking about good subjects, and I'll be right back. So let's get a chance to do some things, and I can get situated. And we're going to talk more about warrior attitude. Yeah, I know you guys like this. There's the clap. I'm telling you. But let my band take it away. I like that song.
Fly me to the moon.
Let me play among the stars.
Let me see what life is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Fill my heart with song. Let me swing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you.
Autism. 20 years ago, 5 in 10,000 children were diagnosed. Today, it's 1 in every 110. That's a 600% increase. While the thought of autism can be terrifying to parents, there is hope through early intervention. Our task was to put autism on parents' radars so they could take the necessary action for an early diagnosis. The concept was to compare the odds of a parent's hopes and dreams for their child, like becoming a top fashion designer or an Olympic skier, with the odds of a child being diagnosed with autism. From there, it expanded to a campaign about some kids who did realize their parents' dreams to become famous, people who beat incredible odds to become successful, and also had a child diagnosed with autism. We did this to show parents that if it could happen to celebrities, it could happen to anyone. We told the stories of a wide range of celebrities, from Toni Braxton, a 6-time Grammy Awards winner, and Ernie Els, a 2-time U.S. Open champion, to NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray and world-renowned fashion designer Tommy Hilfiger. The TV took us through a journey of their lives and the odds of their achievement, juxtaposed with the odds of having a child diagnosed with autism. The Autism Awareness Campaign consistently received strong donated media support, reaching nearly $287 million from April 2006 to March 2011. In 2010 alone, the campaign ranked number one in donated media when compared to all active Ad Council campaigns, and has received multiple awards, including Ogilvy, Addy, Andy, Effie's, Cannes, and Clio. Since the campaign launch, parents are increasingly thinking, talking, and getting information about autism. In fact, parents who have seen or heard the Odds campaign are 160% more likely than those who have not to be aware of the high prevalence of autism. Finally, these parents are 55% more likely to think about autism as it relates to their own children, and 93% more likely to recognize at least one key sign of autism. Autism Speaks has spoken, and parents are listening.
And I said, fly me. Okay. You know, I'm kind of like I was watching this clip with the president, right? And he started singing one of Al Green's songs, and he pointed over to his crew, and he was like, these guys didn't think I would do it. I mean, a lot of times we like having fun and enjoying the music that we like. So whether you're a leading politician or talk show host or writer or singer or whatever it is, if you feel like singing in your office, in the shower, or wherever you feel like doing it, do it. I mean, forget everybody else's opinion. If you like yourself enough, like I like Don McClure, just do it. But anyway, we're talking about warrior-type attitudes. We've got 8 more minutes for the show. I'm telling you, they fly by. I want everybody, white, black, Hispanic, doesn't matter, to start thinking about how do we make things better between us and better for us. Because we have so many people telling us what we can't do, won't do, should do, how to do, what to think. And I was looking at Mr. and Mrs. Loving. It's a movie that I'm going to review again. And again, we're going to start doing reviews. And it's about a couple that's black and white that get married and they go to jail for a year, from what I understand. And they have to fight their way through the system because the system says they can't be together. Well, their warrior-type attitude and their crusade was to be together. So you decide on what you think is so important to you that no matter what, you're willing to pay the consequences and develop that warrior-type attitude. I know for me, one day I want to get the helmets of some of the Greek warriors just to have them in my house and or my apartment on Lakeshore Drive or something, and just sit back and relax sometimes when I'm reading a book and just look at that. Because when you read history and you pick up on different people, like the gentleman I spoke to you about earlier, I get so much out of their zeal and their wanting a better life that I should want a better life, that I should want to be the best that I can be. And that crusade, I want a lot of you to decide on what your next crusade is going to be. And when you decide that, starting today, you're going to find yourself saying, you know what, I'm truly going to have a much better life. I'm truly going to have what I want. And that's what I'm finding in a lot of the movies. I was looking at a movie with Sandra Bullock, and I think it's Love, Pray, or Pray and Love or something. And she took this whole trip just to come around and find out that God was inside of herself and that she needed to really make herself happy. And once she did that, she spent time in Italy with a family that she enjoyed, and she just enjoyed Thanksgiving with them. And they had never had Thanksgiving, but she learned different ways. And she went to Bali, and she just did all kinds of things. And She washed floors in one place, and this woman didn't have to wash floors, but it was part of the ritual, I guess, of what they do there. And just the different things she went through. A lot of times, like I said, we spend so much time repeating what television and the news media, even with the political figures today, we're trying to decide on which one is the best, and we're listening to the spins. And I was listening to some of the commentators last night on TV, and they were talking about Newt Gingrich, and they were saying that he was just a serial fibber. And I said, I can't believe that they used that. They said he was a serial fibber, that he flip-flopped a lot. So I'm not sure. I have to go back and examine some of Newt's things, but it just goes to show you that sometimes people's opinions about you and stuff that they put out there, and you have to take it whether it's real or unreal. But do you really want to be known as a serial fibber? I mean, like, one minute you're saying you don't like Fannie Mae and Fannie Mac, but then you're taking $2 million, and it's kind of double standards. But anyway, what we're talking about tonight is a type of warrior-type attitude. And I was truly amazed that when I went on the news media in Memphis, I really wanted to know why they weren't carrying a major, major story about this man that was being buried in Arlington, because he was a phenomenal person in black history. And it wasn't only just black history, it's world history, that I think that maybe a lot of us should have put some kind of black banner on our arm, or maybe just said something, or reposted it to let people know that we thought a lot of this man. I mean, he did pave the way for us. He paved the way for a lot of the pilots that are today. And what was so amazing is, he was the first black African-American air traffic controller. That's the guy that lets the planes come in and out of the airports. So this man went from fighting wars for us and for his country and for everybody in the United States to saving lives by being able to direct the plane. Do you know what it takes to be an air traffic controller? You got to have some brain power, because you're deciding which planes land, which planes need to stay in air, what they're going to do, how they're going to do it. And the next time you see one of those action films, like with John McClane, Bruce Willis, they're talking about air traffic controllers. So we've got two more minutes into the show. And, of course, you're listening to Don S. McClure, and I'm going to look for a lot of those emails. And you are listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And to my Memphis crew, I want to send a big shout-out to my Illinois crew. I want to send a big shout-out. And to my Washington crew, who keeps saying, quit talking about Seattle so much. We're okay. And I'm like, it's snowing down here. Matter of fact, my niece wrote me a little thing on Facebook. She said, Uncle Don, shame on you for taking all that snow down to Washington. And I had to laugh because she's a jewel. I think a lot of her. And I'm just going to keep encouraging people, so that we can be the best that we can be. Because that's all we have is each other. White, black, indifferent, Mexican, Puerto Rican, Asian, Russian, Eurasian, whatever you want to call yourself. When it all boils down, we only have each other. And when we help you put on that warrior armor to get your crusade going, it's the greatest thing in the world. So with that said, we've got a minute, 48 seconds. And you know me, I love to play my endings. And, of course, I'm going to play my favorite song before I say goodnight. I'm still standing because I am, and it's a new year. And my other producer on Blog Talk just said I got 90 seconds. So I'm going to end my show so I don't run out of time. And I'm going to say goodnight. I will see you guys next Friday. We'll have a new topic. And, again, enjoy life, because that's all you have.
lonely, lonely.